Hello, and welcome to the Art of Intuition podcast. My name is Susan Jane, and I believe that trusting your intuition is the best way to live your life with meaning and purpose. Each week you will hear about how you can connect, develop, and trust your intuition through interviews with other guests and my own personal experiences. Join me to understand how your intuition can guide you towards a life full of meaning and loving purpose. Hello and welcome to The Art of Intuition. I'm Susan Jane, your host for the podcast. And today we want to go back into the trust, about understanding and reclaiming our power, the power of trust. Now, what I talked about last time when I went through it is the whole the holistic approach. So we're looking at self-awareness, self-confidence, self-reliance, and self-nurturing. And we run through the stages of those. Now, last week I talked about self-awareness. So we looked at the self-talk. So this is being aware of how we're talking to each other, or the messages and the information that we are communicating. Self-respect. So it's about being respectful of your time, your skills, your values, your integrity, self-honesty. So it's about being true to yourself, because you are unique. You know, we are all different, and that's what makes us who we are. So be honest about that and own that. And then we talked about self-trust. So that is actually being, to have self-trust, to trust yourself and the messages you're getting. That's how we start to really develop our intuition. That's how we really start to nail it down. So being, so starting to trust those messages you get. Now, you don't necessarily have to follow them all the time, but you need to be aware of it. It's all about being aware of it. But this week, this is part two, and we're going to look more into the self-confidence side of it. So we're going to start to build our trust through personal understanding and knowledge. So this is what we're looking at today. And there's the four elements of that, which is self-appreciation, self-care, self-worth, and self-reflect. So we're going to run through those and get a little bit of a better understanding of how we can actually build our confidence to start to be able to trust again. Now, it's not just about trusting others. It's about really trusting ourselves. So when we look at self-appreciation, what we can do is we can get a better understanding of where we've come, how far we've come. When we can look back and we sort of reflect on what's going on and where we've been and what we've done, we start to get a little bit more appreciative. Now, I know often I will look back at my life and think, oh, gosh, I shouldn't have done that, or I did this wrong, or maybe I could have done it better. And I know that I'll often look at some of those negative aspects because they seem to hold stronger in your mind, or in mine they do anyway. And it's like, no, I need to be aware of that. And this is, like I said last week, about the self-talk and understanding that self-talk. So if we acknowledge that, okay, I can often go back and sort of really rouse on myself about some of the things that I've already done. But that's in the past. I can't change it. I can only change my attitude towards it. So when we start to look at self-appreciation, we start to get a better or clearer understanding of the parts of us that we can actually appreciate. Now, that can be a bit challenging, and I've done a lot of mirror work, but these are the areas that we need to look at. So when I started to look at the appreciation side, especially in regards to self-confidence, I started to look at where the positives that I've done and how I did them and all those small things. That they don't have to be big things. They're small things. One of the things I do remember was when I decided that I was going to uni at the ripe old age of 48, I decided I wanted to go back to uni. I wanted to go there and I wanted to study. I was doing natural therapies. I was already working one-on-one with clients, but I wanted to study something that enabled me to help a wider variety. In those days, podcasts weren't around, so that wasn't a choice. So I decided to go back to uni and I studied a public health degree. And it's all about health promotion and how we can put things together to help promote better health instead of waiting until there's an issue and then having to fix the health. So it was all about that earlier onset of, or earlier uptake, I should say, of positive behaviours. And I really, really enjoyed that. And I need to be mindful of that. When I went through uni, I was working three part-time jobs at the same time. And I passed uni in the top 5% for those 3 years, working full-time. Doing uni full-time and working three part-time jobs. Now, the crazy thing is, 6 months after my uni degree finished, the government had changed hands and they had actually made all those jobs, those positions were made redundant. There was no positions available for the course that I just spent 3 years studying. So it was really challenging. And for me, my first thing was to go, oh, and I take it on board and I took all that negative stuff and I went, you've done all this for nothing and rah, rah, rah. And I carried on and carried on and carried on in a negative way, not in a good way. So I still look back sometimes and I still think, oh, what a waste of time, because I've never been able to use that. But it's those little successes in between all that that I need to focus on, not necessarily the result or the outcome. It's those little successes that I had in between all that. I met some really lovely people. I get now why people say that when you go through university with friends, they become lifelong friends, because I get that. You're studying things you both like, so you're both like-minded in that sort of context, and you are going along a very, very similar path. So, yes, they do become lifelong friends. I've met some lovely people, and to me, that's a success. I did well in uni. It doesn't reflect where... when the government changed, it doesn't reflect anything like that. I did well in uni. I really enjoyed it. I loved doing the research. I loved the analytical side of it. There was other areas I didn't like so much. It did shut down my spiritual side of it. It did shut down I would come up with all these ideas because they were coming to me intuitively. But of course, in university, you have to have proof. And unfortunately, a lot of that proof is not along those contexts or along those lines. So the good part about it, it allowed my intuition allowed me to open up my thoughts and my minds about university, about what you're studying, but then you still had to find other research or other information that could concrete it or could prove it or disprove it, in other words, yeah. So that was a little bit hard to take, because when you know something, when it comes through intuitively and you know it, it's really hard to see another side to it, like try and see the bias to it or try and see other sides to it. So there was a challenge with that. But they were the successes that I was having. And these are the successes that you need to look at. You need to look at little successes. It doesn't have to be big ones. You don't have to be the winner of an award. It's those little successes that you acknowledge that helps bring that self-confidence up. It's that self-appreciation to where you should be. So we can look at those little things. If it wasn't for uni, I wouldn't have written my first book. If it wasn't for uni, I wouldn't be starting my second book. So it's all these sort of things, and what I learned in how to present information and what I've learned in all those areas. I did at one stage through uni, I was a teacher. I was, what do they call it? A mentor. Yes, it was a mentor for Indigenous students who were going through year one, and I was in year three by then. They were going through year one of their academic studies in the health promotion position. So I was a tutor for them. Tutor, it's not a mentor, you know, whatever it was. So that was one of my part-time jobs. And it opened my eyes up to how Indigenous people learn or a bit more about their culture. So there was lots of these little successes that I had along the way that until you acknowledge them, you don't have that self-appreciation. You just, it's easy to brush it off. It's easy to say, oh, you know, that was a waste of time. You know, you still owe the money and rah, rah, rah. You know, it's easy to brush it off as a negative when in reality it's very much a positive. It's a very much a success, another step further forward. So when we start to get an understanding of our appreciation, sometimes it helps to actually put down a list. You know, this is what I did, and this is, and you'd be surprised how much you have done and those little successes. I mean, even silly things like, okay, my naturopath says I have to drink 2 liters of water a day. So I've got a 2-liter jug, and because I'm in front of this computer so much, that's my job. It's early in the morning yet, and I'm on my first class. So these are the sort of things. I've been doing that. I've been doing it for the last two weeks. Weekends, not so good because I'm not in front of the computer. But during the week, I'm smashing this, and that's a success. That's going to do my bloods so much better. And I've let my physical body go a little bit too long. So now I'm back into it again and getting myself back on track to where I want to be. So that to me is a success. I can celebrate that. And you know how I do that? This is fun. I have to drink 2 liters of water, right? Try this at home. You can. I have to drink 2 liters of water a day. That's not counting anything else. Now, if I exercise, I have to drink more. So I walk every morning and I take a 500 ml bottle with me, and I have that finished before I get home. Still got the 2 liters there. And then if I want a cup of coffee, I have to drink another 250 mils, so another like a glass. If I want wine, I have to drink another glass. So consequently, on Wednesday when I'm going to have some wine, I will drink 2 more glasses just so I can drink the wine. Now, that's appreciating my body. That's appreciating me for who I am. That's how I'm going to do it. So that's how I'm celebrating my successes. It's like, okay, I celebrate with a glass of wine, but I've got to drink a glass of water for it. So it all starts to make sense. It all starts to add up. And yes, I know that's a little bit crazy, but, you know, that's what life's all about. It's about acknowledging and appreciating it. I appreciate my body. I appreciate the fact that I can get up in the morning and do a 40-minute walk, because there's sometimes when I know when I'm feeling a bit down, it's a struggle to get out of bed, and physically I'm okay, but I know that every now and then I get a niggles, and like we did a big weekend over the with gardening and stuff like that, and you feel sore the next day. It's appreciating our physical, our mental, our emotional, our spiritual sides, is appreciating all of that. And until we start to appreciate it, no one else will. Until I acknowledge that I am a good intuitive, I can read cards, I can read people, I can read situations, until I can hear the messages, I can see the messages, I understand it, and I work with it. Until I believe that, no one else will believe it. And you've got to be the same. Until you believe and appreciate who you are, no one else will appreciate it. Making those stands. So the next thing, now that's self-appreciation, okay, so that's what's bringing us to self-confidence. The next thing is self-care. Now, self-care, when I look at that, it's similar to the glass of water that I was talking to you about. And this is what's bringing up our confidence, because when we know where we're at and what we're doing and what our boundaries are, our triggers are, we then have the ability to stay within them if we choose to. We can move out of them if we choose to. It's just like that glass of water. I have the self-care by having an extra glass of water. I feel that glass of wine is okay. Now, it may not be, but in my mind and as I am here and now, it's okay. If I don't have that glass of water, not so okay. So self-care is understanding what our triggers are as well. And this is where we start to look at what is triggering us to create some of the negative talk that we bring through, what's creating us to harm ourselves in a negative manner. And it doesn't have to be physical. It could just be in a context, again, like the glass of wine. I'm harming myself by having that if I don't have that glass of water. And that's how I'm looking at it. I'm harming myself if I eat the whole box of chocolates instead of just one or two. So getting that understanding, and self-care is about those triggers. What is triggering me or you to do what you're doing? What is triggering me to go for a second glass of wine when I don't really want it? What are the triggers when you have a bad day? And it's funny because I've been having a few bad days, and they're not bad days. They're just not good days. Why? And I look back and I think to myself, what is it? What's going on that is creating this feeling of not such a good day? And instead of now taking it on board that it's just a bad day, I'm starting to look a little bit deeper and go, okay, well, what is it that's creating that? Why am I feeling like it's a bad day? On my walk this morning, it was like, okay, what have I got on today? Well, I've got to do a live. I've got to do a podcast, record a podcast. I've got work to do. I've got this to do. And the funny thing is that there was positives and negatives, and yet it made me feel positive because I had things to look forward to. I had triggers in there that were going to cause negatives. I know that when I work for my job, there's triggers in there that cause negatives and it can really bring me down. But I also made sure I put something in place that will allow me to lift again. And recording this allows me to lift. And that's the sort of thing that I look for. So getting that happy balance, that self-care is getting a happy balance. But again, being really, really mindful of the triggers. Now, the triggers don't need to be negative things. They can just be things that you sort of, I don't know, they just change your energy. They just sort of make you feel like you're 1 minute happy and then next minute not sad, not angry, just not comfortable. And so there's lots of activities. There's lots of ways that you can get an understanding of what that is and what that means. But self-care is the trigger. It's the main thing. So when we get a trigger, when we have it, unfortunately, when we have a trigger, obviously, it can be quite dramatic. It can be one of those ones that hits you in the face and you respond automatically. So a trigger can sort of be somebody calling you a name or something happening and you know, you're watching something happen and it really triggers something. It might be the kids doing something. It might be somebody saying something about the kids, or it might, you know, whatever your triggers are. Mine was about kids, which is why I said it. So if somebody said to me, oh, you're not a good mother or you know, something about the kids, well, then straight away it would trigger me. It would definitely trigger me, especially when it was my ex-husband. I had those triggers all the time. So I had to learn to stop. This is for self-care, remember. I had to learn to stop responding straight away. And I say straight away because we need time to breathe and think. We need time to step back from it. So when we get these triggers, just step back a little bit. Give them time. Give yourself time to get a better understanding of it, to get a better response from it. Because with this awareness and building up the self-confidence, if you respond straight away in a negative sort of a context, you don't build up your self-confidence. It's not good for your self-care because there's other things that will trigger. Okay, let me give you an explanation. If I responded straight away to a trigger, I would often feel guilty about it later on because I don't believe I responded in the right manner. So then it creates a guilt. And so it starts to create this like a bit of a roller coaster ride. Now, when we get a trigger, if we can just go, okay, acknowledge the trigger. First thing, self-talk, self-respect, acknowledge it. Acknowledge that's a trigger. And then go, self-care. What do I need to do? Now you can straight away, if you want to, yell and scream back. Like, if that's what you want to do, do it. But be aware that's what you're doing. And be aware that you have to live with those consequences. I know there was times that when I would yell at the kids because they were driving me crazy. And then later on I'd go, one of the things you don't do is call your kids names, because they take that to life. They take that for the rest of their life. You are the most important person to them. You call them names, they're going to take that on board. We don't do that. And these are the sort of things. Now, I didn't know that until later on, until I learned about different things in the book. Like you say, there's no handbook for a parent. But these are the sort of things that we can do to self-care for us, and it gives us confidence. When you're then referring to a child or there's something going on, you can do it in a better manner. You're not doing it from a trigger, a knee-jerk reaction. You're doing it from the heart, which is so much better. It's so much better for you and for your child or for the other person. So be aware of those triggers, okay? That's what we really want to do. And how can you respond that's more nurturing for you, more caring for you? So we're self-caring. It's no good yelling and screaming and getting it out if it's going to create more problems. It's no good not yelling and screaming if you're going to hold on to it and it's going to fester into something else. So getting that understanding of the triggers, how you're going to respond. First thing, awareness, step back. It's happened, step back. And even if you do that physically, it's a real good understanding for you. It's a good trigger, a positive trigger to go, nah, got to look at this a little bit differently. And you know what they say about the definition of stupidity is to do the same thing and expect a different result. Do something different. You'll get a different result. So that is the self-care. Now, for self-confidence, the next stage, so we talked about self-appreciation, we've got self-care. The next one is self-worth. Now, self-worth is one of my biggest hiccups, for want of another word. Going through that 20-year of an emotionally abusive relationship knocked my self-worth to the gutter. There was not a lot left after that, I can assure you. And probably why I look at things like self-appreciation and self-care, why I look at all of this, it's all because my self-worth was just so low. I had nowhere else to go. Like, I could only go up. That was the only spot to go. And if you think that your self-worth is not where it should be, often we can swing that pendulum to the other side of it. And I've seen people that need to really push their self-worth to try and break that barrier that they've got. But if we can do it in a manner that's more suiting, then we're going to get the better result. We're going to get more confidence and a better understanding of ourselves. So one of the good ways to practice your self-worth or to have a look at your self-worth is to see it from another perspective. When we start to see it from another perspective, it is quite empowering for yourself. Now, I didn't get this until I asked a few of my friends when I was writing my book to give me some feedback. Oh, not so much feedback, but they to write a little spiel, a little bit something about the book or about me. When you get reviews, when you get reviews from your business and people write nice reviews on there, it all helps your self-worth. You start to see yourself in the eyes of other people. And I don't mean in a negative connotation. I mean in a positive way. We get the negatives, whether you like it or not, you get the negatives. People are going to share. If they're not happy with you, yep, they're going to share. They're going to tell you, don't worry. Or you just don't hear from them again. Yep, that's the way it goes. But if you look at the reviews, and sometimes when somebody's put a review up and you can see it's a nasty review, you know somebody's going through a bit of crap and they're not happy with it. Now, there's ways to get through that. if you're in a business and you're getting a negative review. What you need to do is not take that on board, because if you've got self-worth issues, you could have trouble with that, okay? We need to be mindful of that. Now, in all the workshops I do, I always ask for feedback. I always get feedback. And I just drive myself crazy, because that feedback comes in and lo and behold, I just find you've got 20 of them that are great, you know, loved everything, rah, rah, and then you've got one person that sort of goes, oh, well, I would have liked it if it was this. And straight away, I just latch onto that and go, oh, no, I've done wrong. I've done, you know, and your self-worth drops. No, we've got to stop doing this. And I'm not going to say you've got to stop doing it, because it's part of me too. But when we start to look at it from another perspective, we start to get a better understanding of it. Now, it doesn't mean that we have to have everybody to like us. That's not what it is. It's more about getting a different view on what you do. So when somebody asks me what I do, I run a podcast. I work there, but I run a podcast and I have online courses and I'm writing another book, and that's all my passion. But when you ask somebody else what you do, and they start to bring forward some of the information that they have, it's really interesting to see how somebody else looks at you or somebody else sees you. Even my partner was talking about it today. He'd gone down to Melbourne. His mum had passed away, but he caught up with a few of his friends. Now, it's funny, but because of the moment, because of the scenario of being down there, he ended up having a lot of deep and meaningfuls with his friends. And a lot of his friends were from school and from college and, you know, old long-time friends. And some of the things I was saying, you could see his confidence being built and his self-worth growing, because they were saying things like, oh, you taught me this. You showed me how to do this. I learned this from you. And these talks that they were having were really significant for his self-worth, because he was seeing himself in the eyes of somebody who loved him in a different way, and not a relationship love, not a you have to love me. This is just a friendship love. This is just a mateship love, you know. And it was so, when he was telling me about it was so lovely to listen to, because he was, his whole persona started to lift, his whole emotions started to lift, were lighter, were brighter. And it was really nice to see. And that's all about our self-worth. It's all about seeing ourselves from another perspective. Now, again, we can go look at the negative ones, but that's not what we're doing here to build self-confidence. If you want to look at the negative ones, go ahead and do it. Make sure you're strong enough in the positive ones first. Make sure you understand you before you look too much at the negatives, because the negatives we can really dwell in, especially if you're an empath, you can really dwell in those negatives and drag yourself down, and that's not helping. Whereas if we start to look at some of the positives, it allows us to go forward. So I had a girlfriend just before I went to go to uni, and she said to me, what makes you think you can get into uni? Because I hadn't applied for it then. I was organising everything to go, because I had to get a renter in my home. I had to get a manager in my business. My kids had just left home and they were doing their own thing. My youngest one was going to uni at the other end of the world. I should say the state. So there was a lot of things to organise. And she said to me, well, how do you know you're actually going to get into uni? And it was like, well, I'm just going to get into it. It doesn't matter. But when I look back at that situation, I did say to her, it doesn't matter if I don't get in there. I will take a bridging course and I will get in, because that's my intention. But when I think back on that and I look at the self-worth and the understanding of that and seeing it from another perspective, she was asking me because it's not something she could do. So she saw me in a position that I could do it. in a position where if that's what I wanted, I would get it done. So she saw me in this very, very strong light. And it wasn't until quite a few years later that I could look back and go, that's how she saw me. She wasn't having a go at me. She wasn't being negative. She just saw it in a different way. She saw something and she saw the fear in her. Her fear was, well, what if I couldn't get in? I'd have to come back, or everything I've done is for nothing. So she saw that fear, and that's what she expressed. But she saw a strength in me, and that's how I can look at it when I look at my self-worth, how other people are seeing different sides of me. When I tell people I've got an international podcast, they look at me as if they go, whoa, how special are you? Well, I don't always feel special, but I can take that on board as like, I worked hard for it. That's my self-worth. I deserve that. That's terrific. And I love that energy you're giving me. Thank you. So be mindful of how other people are seeing you. Look at the positives to it, though, because all those little successes that we talked about in your appreciation, all those little successes are going to build on with that one. All those little triggers, how you change it, we'll build on to that. And then when we get to our self-worth, all those little things there will reflect on that too. Right, so the last one we've had for self-confidence, we've had self-appreciation, self-care, self-worth. Now we're looking at self-reflect. Now this is the big one as far as confidence goes. And we touch on it when we look at self-worth as well. But when we start to really self-reflect, we learn so much more about ourselves. We've talked about our successes. We've talked about our triggers. And then we've just talked about seeing ourselves from another perspective. When we start to self-reflect, take all those into consideration as well. We need to bring them all together when we self-reflect. As I said to you about my friend who asked me about going to college, it wasn't until I started to self-reflect and bring in appreciation, care, and worth that I understood what that was about. I was taken aback when she sort of said it. Like, it was like, whoa, you know, where did that come from? You know, she sort of said, well, how do you know you're going to get in? And I was like, whoa, where did that come from? And so originally I was a little bit shocked. And I did respond, but I did think about it first. I did step back. I remember thinking, oh, I don't know. And then allow that information to come through, because intuitively it started to come through. So when we start to self-reflect, start to look at some of those situations and then see, again, the successes in them. See what the triggers were. See what it was like from somebody else's point of view, and get a better understanding of what you did, why you did it, and how you did it. Because when we learn that, when we get that self-reflecting, get that understanding, we can then take that forward as we go. So now, look, there's still triggers where I will just snap. There's definitely still triggers. I certainly do not have a halo above my head. So, mate, I am not that good. But I have learned in a lot of them just to stop, just to breathe. When somebody is triggering me, oh, God, I snapped at poor old my partner the other day. Oh, poor bugger. I was not in the right frame of mind for him to say what he said. It was like, wow. Yeah, saucer of milk, table two. But we all have that, and that's all part of life, but it's being aware of it. And I remember I went back to him when I settled down and I apologized. I said, I just snapped. You hit a raw nerve. And I'm not saying you're wrong. You were right in what you said. But boy, oh boy, did you hit a raw nerve, you know, and I needed to step back and have a think about it. But sometimes when I step back, it involves sort of a door slamming, which isn't good. But anyway, we're getting better. Come on. I'm learning as much as you are. So anyway, the best thing is that we're taking it step by step. We come on board. Now, what happened recently with that little outburst of mine it was a one-off. It was something completely different. So it isn't likely to happen again. But if it does, I'm very, very mindful of it. And I'm very mindful that it's a trigger. And I have to be really aware of that trigger and certainly not take it out on my partner because it had nothing to do with him. He was just trying to help. Take this on board. These are the ways that we have in a relationship. We are 50-50 in a relationship. That's what it's all about. I can create as many dramas as he can. I can create as many positive aspects as he can. We have the same amount. It's 50-50 in our relationship. So in all relationships, you can't sit there and whinge and bitch about somebody. They've not called you. They've not spoken to you. If you haven't called them and spoken to them, it's a 50-50, okay? Make sure you do that. Now, again, it's self-reflect. So when we start to look at our self-reflecting, as I just did with that situation, take on board all of it for your self-confidence because it's the only way you're going to go forward comfortably is knowing that you appreciate who you are. You know you care for who you are. You know you're worth it. Your self-worth is above. And because of all that is your self-reflection. And to self-reflect without that understanding of those other things, to self-reflect can be very, very challenging because often you will self-reflect into a negative aspect. If you can get an understanding that it's all about appreciating those successes, understanding those triggers, and acknowledging your self-worth for it, your achievements for it, then you can self-reflect so much better. But if you're having trouble, ask somebody. I guess with all my self-reflecting when I started to get an understanding of it, especially in the situation with the attack when I was attacked, getting an understanding came quite a lot later when a lot of the emotions and a lot of the rawness came out. Then you had the opportunity to actually reflect it on a positive manner, even though it was challenging and hard. There was this positive manner to it. So one of the things about the attack, I swore I would never talk about it unless I felt it would help somebody else in some way, shape or form. So I was really mindful about that. I never talked about it until quite late. Well, considering it happened to me in my 19, I didn't actually talk about it openly until I was around the 50 odd mark, around there. So there was a big gap in between that. But halfway through that period of time, I reckon in my mid-30s was when I was doing that strong self-reflection and getting a really good understanding. And how I could do that too was because of reading different books, understanding what a near-death experience was. I started reading a book about near-death experiences, didn't know what they were. And as I'm reading it, this self-reflecting came in and I realized that's what had happened to me 12 months after the attack. I'd passed out of work. I'd had a near-death experience because what they were saying in this book was so similar to what I'd experienced that all of a sudden it had a label to it, an understanding to it, which I didn't have before. So the importance of self-reflecting is having an understanding of what it is and getting that knowledge. And I got that through books, but you can often get that through life coaching and different aspects like that, spiritual healers, all those sort of things. You can often get a understanding of it in that context. But knowing that, getting the reading and the learnings from that allowed me to reflect back and see my experiences and what they were. Because when things are happening to you that you really don't know what's going on, leaving your body and seeing it and you know, watching things happening to you, as I did in the attack, it's really like weird. But understanding it, when you read about something similar to it and you can go back and understand what it was going on and what was happening, it just made so much more sense. During the attack, you know, to me, I was always a victim. I was attacked. I was a victim. after getting an understanding and learning about what was going on and what happened, I realized I wasn't a victim. I was so empowered. I had so much strength with the situation that happened. What happened in that timing was absolutely amazing. And it put me on my spiritual path, and I wasn't even aware of that. So we can self-reflect in so many ways. I looked at that attack. Do you know, I looked at that attack and I looked at the appreciation of it, the successes I had when I was being attacked. I looked at the self-care, what I did when I was being attacked, and then didn't look at my self-worth. Maybe that's what I need to look more into. But my self-worth was knocked around in that. It really was knocked around in it. But once I started doing the reflection, that then made my self-worth change as well. Because if I put myself into that negative connotation for my self-worth, I would be putting myself into the attacker's situation. I would be looking at them, and I was a victim. When I took that away, when I reflected back on that and took that self-worth back, I no longer was the victim. I was the strength. They were the ones that were being manipulated by me, and they didn't know. So that's a whole new story. That's a whole nother story. And the situation that happened there, because during the attack, I actually left my body. But I'll let you know all about that. That is in one of the other podcasts. That is going to come up in the book, because the book that I'm writing about, which is all about trust, is autobiography. It's my story, but how I learned these steps, how I learned about self-awareness, self-confidence, self-reliance, self-nurturing. It's the steps I've gone, and they've got a story, the stories in each one about, you know, what happened. And when I look at, say, the self worth, no, the self-reflect, I think I add the story about the attack in there when you start to self-reflect. And again, added it in there so you get an understanding of how we can look back at those negative times and see something in them. We can see other areas rather than just that negativity. You can't have black without white. And what can make, you can't switch a blackness light on, but you can switch a light on, and we can make that darkness go away. And that's what it's all about. So in this trust program that I'm putting together, in the book that I'm putting together that comes all with it, we talk about our four levels: self-awareness, self-confidence, self-reliance, and self-nurture. Self-awareness is what is trust and why does it matter, and it covers off on self-talk, self-respect, self-honesty, and self-trust. In self-confidence, we're building trust through personal understandings and knowledge, which is what we've just talked about, with self-appreciation, self-care, self-worth, and self-reflect. Then we have self-reliance. Now, this is about trusting your decisions by putting your knowledge into action. And we can look at meditation, visualization, association, and intuition. And then finally, we go through self-nurturing. And that's expressing trust to yourself unconditionally. And it's all about protect yourself, accept yourself, allow yourself, and trust yourself. So that's the full program. And this was part two where we talked about the self-confidence. If I get the opportunity, I've got a few interviews coming up. If I get the opportunity, I will try and do part three and part four. We'll look at self-reliance and we'll look at self-nurture. Then you've got the whole understanding of it, which is good for me. I like it when I can share like that. But that is me for today. You can connect with me on Facebook, on Intuitive Personal Development, or on any of the other Intuitive Nature or The Art of Intuition. That is the name of the website. You can get it through both ways, Art of Intuition or Intuitive Nature, as long as you remember the .com.au. It's Australian business. So that's it. Let's see how we go from there. Oops, hang on. I've got to put the other little ticker on. I forgot to put all those on. Yeah, we've got some really interesting people coming up, and I've got a few more. I'm doing some interviews on other people's podcasts, so I'll put them up on the website too. It's a little bit exciting, a little bit nervous. All right, have a great week, guys. Look forward to the festive season coming up and a bit of hot weather over here, probably a bit of cold weather where in America and in other places. But have a great Christmas if I don't catch up with you before. But the shows will be going every week for you. So I'm saying bye for now. Have a great week, and I will catch you soon. Bye-bye.